Do you swear on the Constitution of the United States to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
This is Police Radio,
the voice of American law enforcement,
with your host, Randy Sutton.
Hello and welcome to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. Thanks so much for joining me again this week for another great show. I've got a couple of tremendous interviews with two prosecutors, LA prosecutors, who have put together an amazing book called Officers Down in the Line of Duty. We'll be talking about that book. It's going to really be an interesting read for you. But before we get into the interview room, let's take a walk into the briefing room, where I'm going to give you my view from the blue.
The Briefing Room. Headlines, stories, and all that touches American law enforcement.
Is anybody else tired of watching the self-entitled NFL morons disrespecting our flag, disrespecting our national anthem, and disrespecting, in essence, themselves? Because what they are doing while they are taking the knee, so to speak, is what they call it, during these sporting events, is embarrassing our country and certainly making a statement that's built on lies. I think that's probably one of the things that frustrates me the most, is that this whole mess started with that idiot Colin Kaepernick, and he was protesting the murder of young black men by police officers, the racist, institutionalized racism of policing, and the Black Lives Matter mantra about police hunting down young black men and killing them needlessly. Now, Kaepernick started it. Now, these other NFL players from all over the spectrum are now doing the same thing. Their owners, instead of standing up for their country, are coddling these punks, these multimillionaire entitled athletes who the only reason that they can run around and toss a ball around and get millions of dollars is because of what this nation stands for and the men and women who have died defending that flag and defending that national anthem. I think that's what burns me so much, is to know that this whole premise is built on lies. It's built on the lies of Ferguson, the myth of hands up, don't shoot, which never even took place. It's built on the myth of some police involvement in Trayvon Martin's death. The police weren't even anywhere near that. All they did was investigate it. And the myth of the lies of institutionalized police racism. Now, I've spoken about this time and time and time again. I know that it's false because after 34 years of policing and working with thousands of police officers and hearing from many more, I know that this myth about cops hunting down young black men because they feel like it is crazy. It's some type of weird hysterical reaction is the only thing that I can point to. But here's what exacerbated this whole thing. You know, the president, President Trump, who has been nothing but a strong supporter of law enforcement since even before he became president, he came out during one speech and he called out those NFL players for disrespecting the flag. Well, he's the president of the United States. He's got the right to do that. You know, he's got free speech too. And what that did was that exacerbated, that inflamed the liberal left. It inflamed the NFL players. And now they have jumped on this bandwagon. It's, you know what it is? It's a fad. That's really what it is. It's a fad to show that they don't like President Trump. Okay. Don't like President Trump. That's your prerogative. You know, if you don't want to open your mind and judge him for what he's actually done, and you choose to hate him or choose to dislike him, Okay, that's your opinion. It's your right. Go ahead. But to purposefully disrespect the flag of the United States of America and its national anthem is to me just a pedantic, like spoiled children who didn't get their way, and this is their way of acting out. But it hurts our country. I mean, we had some football team over there in London, and they refused to stand for their own country's national anthem, but they stood for Britain's. I mean, what kind of insanity is this? What is going on in the minds of these people that they think it's okay to demonstrate their ignorance like this? And the whole story is that it's built on lies. It's built on the lies of Ferguson. It's built on the lies of that race baiters have put out there, that the mainstream media has absolutely inflamed with their one-sided, agenda-driven media blitz against law enforcement. But this is what's going on all over the country, and I for one am sick of it. I mean, not that I was ever a football fan anyway. Seems kind of pointless to me, but I know that there's millions of people that are. But I think America's getting tired of it. I mean, you're seeing a pretty interesting reaction to this by the public. You're seeing the ratings are plummeting. People who are fans are burning the jerseys and the jackets and the paraphernalia that they paid money for, which depict those teams. And I think that that's absolutely the right thing to do. It's time for America to stand up against what is in essence an entirely entitled group of overgrown children who are acting out their anti-American philosophical weirdnesses. You know, if it weren't for the men and women of the United States military, if it weren't for the men and women of law enforcement who literally give their lives in the line of duty and in service of their countries and their communities, well, they wouldn't even have the ability to play their stupid game and to make millions of dollars. And what do they contribute to society? I mean, truly, if you think about it, what is a football player? They're an athlete, yeah, that's great, and they entertain people. It's like singers and actors and organ grinders and mimes and you know, they're entertainers. They're here. Their meaning on this planet is to entertain others, and they get paid handsomely for it. Okay, I get it. But if you look at what they contribute to society in terms of compassion and integrity, and what do they give to their country and their communities? Well, I mean, there are some that contribute. There are some that give to charitable causes and do some nice things for others. But look at the difference between how the military and law enforcement, how they give to their communities and their country, and then weigh that against what football players contribute and some of these actors and celebrities who, you know, also are highly paid entertainers. I mean, that's what they do. I get that they fill a need. But if you look at the human contribution, the American military and the American law enforcement officers of this country, they're laying it on the line. They're interacting with thousands and thousands of people, millions of people every year. The law enforcement, which numbers somewhere around 875,000, will have somewhere around 40 million interactions with people during the year. 40 million, because they're out there 24/7, and they're in many of these cases, they're laying their lives on the line and losing their lives in the line of duty in order to create something that's bigger and better than themselves. Like they believe in protecting their communities. So if you look at what the value is, you know what I say? I say that it's not even close. The value of a law enforcement officer in this country, of someone who's serving in the military, far exceeds the value of an entertainer. And whether that's a singer, an actor, or a football player, I don't think it means anything. I think that it really is demonstrative of a sense of value that has been corrupted and is really skewed. Look at the average police officer. I was reading a recruitment announcement from Flint, Michigan, one of the most violent cities in the country, and they're, you know how they're enticing quality men and women to join their police department? They're offering them $11 an hour. $11 an hour to literally dedicate your life to something that may destroy your life, and not just physically, but emotionally and psychologically. And they're going to pay them $11 an hour. And then you look at some of these punk NFL players who are making millions of dollars, millions and millions of dollars, and what are they contributing? It's so lopsided. It's the inequity and inequality is just so dramatic that when I see how they're acting and the disrespect that they're showing to our flag and to our national anthem, it just disgusts me. And I for one will never watch an NFL game ever. I'm done with them. And I think that a lot of Americans are feeling exactly the same way. And that, my friends, is my view from the blue. I want to take a minute and tell you about an incredible security company. Now, I've dealt with a lot of security folks, and some have been less than professional. This company is amazing, JSD Protective Services. Now, they're all over the country, and they do amazing stuff. They're armed security, they do courier work, they do private investigations, they do it all. And they do it well. And the reason that they do it so well is because of their training. They put their folks through some amazing training that's very comparable to law enforcement training. So JSD Protective Services, they're all over the United States, and you can find them at jsdprotectiveservices.com. That's jsdprotectiveservices.com. For all your security needs, they are the best. Give them a call. Or actually, hit them up on their website, jsdprotectiveservices.com. Before we take a walk into the interview room, one thing I wanted to let you know is that I recently had the honor of being a keynote speaker down in Texas. And I got to tell you that one of the things that I really enjoy is getting to meet personally with the people that listen to this radio program. So if you would like to talk to me about addressing your group, whether it is a law enforcement or a civic group or even a volunteer group, let me know. Contact me at randysutton@americaoutloud.com. Thanks. Now let's take a walk into the interview room.
We are one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We stand proudly with the men and women who serve in our armed forces and our law enforcement heroes. Thank you for being part of our family, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
With me today in the interview room of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, is a very interesting gentleman who not only served as the 41st District Attorney of Los Angeles County, which of course has about 1,000 prosecutors and 300 investigators. In fact, it's the largest local prosecutorial office in the country. His name is Steve Cooley, and he was a career prosecutor nearly three decades later, elected to district attorney. And he actually became the first Los Angeles district attorney in 70 years to be reelected to a third consecutive term. Now, his background is amazing, but what he's doing now affects all of us in law enforcement with his new book called Blue Lives Matter in the Line of Duty. Steve, thank you so much for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.
Well, thank you, Randy, and I really note you have quite a following, and I hope they enjoy our conversation together and can take a look at our book, which will come out November the 7th, but is available for pre-order. And, of course, got to throw the website out there. It's called BlueLivesMatterBook.com. And I really appreciate you providing me an opportunity to put the word out there.
Well, I appreciate what you guys are doing, because what in essence what this book is going to be about is it examines the deaths of eight police officers and a police canine in L.A. County. And and you talk about this, you bring this matter up because, you know, what was it that gave you the impetus to put this book together?
Well, I have a co-author named Bob Shern, who's renowned as being the L.A. County D's office office historian, and he had been collecting materials over the years, and I think we're both motivated by the many deaths of officers, many of whom were executed, sometimes four or five together, or two. And we just thought it would be important to review some of the tragic cases that have occurred in Los Angeles County, and very importantly, draw a lessons learned component together to help current law enforcement officers and future law enforcement officers know just what can go wrong, what the dangers are, what the best tactics are. In that regard, we brought in several law enforcement officers based in L.A., plus one individual named Greg Meyer, who's a nationally recognized use of force and police tactics expert, just to go through the facts that we pulled together and come up with this lessons learned that we think, if this book is read widely and carefully, it will allow officers to avoid situations that might result in their demise. So that's another purpose, is the lessons learned.
This is a very interesting format that you're using. But let's talk about your law enforcement career for just a moment. By the way, for my listeners, later after Steve and I have talked, then Robert Shern is also going to be on the show, and we're gonna have a conversation with him as well. But you know, you spent decades in law enforcement as a prosecutor with the LA County.
Four decades as a prosecutor, and I also spent nearly 7 years as an LA police reserve officer working Newton Division, which, if anyone knows LA, that's one of the hottest divisions, at least at the time, one of the hottest divisions in LA city, if not the country.
Well, and for my listening audience,
Reserve officers in California are do everything that a professional law enforcement officer does. They're fully armed, they're in uniform, and they are police officers. So in essence, you volunteered for it, but you were a cop.
Yeah, the training took nearly 7 months, and they basically had yet to meet certain standards set by the state of California to have the opportunity to serve the community in that way and take those risks and do that job. It was a great learning experience for me, very much a formative experience.
Now, were you doing that before you became a prosecutor or during?
Yes. I joined while I was still in law school at USC.
I bet that
I
made you popular.
By an LAPD officer. Yeah, I know.
I was gonna say.
A little different in terms of, but I think it kept me, kept my mind straight and getting away from the rigors of law school and enjoying something that is so human and so important was a good activity for me. And then I continued on after I was a prosecutor for several years.
I'm surprised that that you were allowed to do that, you know, thinking about how there might be some that would see that as a conflict of interest, but I'm happy that
actually, that's a good point. And there was a lawsuit in Los Angeles County involving a friend of mine who was reserve deputy sheriff, where the office was thinking there might be a conflict and wanted to restrict him. Well, he was a good lawyer. He won the lawsuit and cleared the way for lots of prosecutors to serve in that capacity.
So as a prosecutor, both as an assistant prosecutor, I'm sure you worked your way up since you were with the office for so long, and then elected to LA County as the prosecutor, you had the opportunity to see the incredible destructive nature of crimes against law enforcement officers. I'm sure that had some influence in you wanting to do this book, Blue Lives Matter in the Line of Duty.
Absolutely. And over the years, I've been very supportive financially and otherwise to a wide variety of groups that support police officers' families, next of kin, when the officer was killed in the line of duty. One of them I really spent a lot of time and energy on is the California Narcotics Survivors Fund, which provides immediate financial assistance to the families next of kin of any police officer in California killed in the line of duty. That's one of several causes I've supported. I've been back to the National Peace Officer Memorial several times, and I've drawn great inspiration from that. And I just think it's a noble cause to support police officers and their families next of kin when that horrible tragedy occurs. And that occurs all too often, by the way, all over this country.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're right now on track to either be even with or exceed last year's death toll for law enforcement officers. And we have seen, of course, an increase in the last several years of ambush attacks on law enforcement. I think you detail some of those in your book.
Yeah, there's some ambush attacks, but it's a wide variety of chapters. We hit some high-profile cases, such as the Onion Field. That chapter is entitled "Don't Give Up Your Gun." We talk about how certain cases where the murders occurred in the mid-50s were solved in the early 2000s through forensic efforts and not giving up. That chapter of the killing of two El Segundo police officers titled "We Do Not Forgive, We Do Not Forget, We Do Not Give Up," and that reflects both the investigation and the prosecution of that case. And one of the most fascinating chapters, the one that people have read that really like, is one entitled "Warriors to the End," where an LAPD officer named John Hall was hunting for some suspects who had shot at some motorcycle officers. And he was shot, not killed, but his dog Liberty leaped to his defense and was shot and killed. That's quite a moving chapter. And there are several others I think the readers will find be fascinating. And each one's different. And they're all based upon true facts drawn from a wide variety of reliable sources, including our access to Los Angeles DA's office archives, official court records. We have firsthand accounts of some of the officers who were involved. We talked to investigators, the prosecutors, and we've thrown in some never seen before photos, at least not in a book, to illustrate each chapter. So we think it's a good product, and we think that the lessons learned component is incredibly valuable for current and future law enforcement officers. They will benefit if they read it carefully and learn from what has happened to others, and then apply what they've learned in their risk-taking every day as they do their jobs.
You know, that's an interesting topic, because as a retired law enforcement officer myself, you know, when a police officer does get hurt or does get killed, we don't really want to talk about what, you know, mistakes might have been made, because we want to honor the memory of that officer, and we want to, we're hesitant to delve too deeply into it for fear of it sounding like we're criticizing that officer, you know, after they gave, you know, the ultimate sacrifice. But
well, that's certainly a dynamic, and we were very sensitive to that. But the book honors the officers; it truly does. It talks about their lives and their wives and their next of kin and what good people they were, and how they died can provide a lesson to others that are invaluable. And like, we have one chapter about the murder of Officer Ken Reed from the West Covina Police Department, who got in a monumental fight with a guy on PCP. And that chapter is sometimes you have to shoot. And he could have shot the assailant, and the assailant was able to, given the sheer strength of his PCP intoxication, rip out the shotgun from the officer's car and then shoot him. Something that, I mean, it'd be hard to anticipate that, but at any rate, we do justice to the officers because they are worthy of incredible honor, and I'm sure that they would appreciate the fact that their unfortunate deaths are being memorialized and will lead to other officers perhaps being a little more alert or anticipatory in terms of dangers they face. So I think we handled that very well, and the book demonstrates that, I think.
So, you know, one of the things that we have to really work towards is humanizing these men and women who proudly serve their communities. You know, they have in the media and in the social media, law enforcement officers have been demonized. They have been dehumanized by agenda-driven media people and politicians, and it's heartbreaking to see that. So it's really important that a book like yours comes out and shows these men and women as they are, as human beings, as fathers and mothers,
and they're great human beings, and that's why to put things in perspective, that's why Blue Lives Radio is so successful and has a following. That's why other movements throughout the country supporting law enforcement officers are being recognized and listened to. So I think there's a movement out there to put things in perspective, and you're doing it, I'm doing it, many others are doing it. And right now we have is, if we're really going to get the message out, we need to have individuals check out the website, look at it, get a feel for it, and then hopefully pre-order it so we can further advance this and get our message out.
Exactly.
You've got a huge following. I looked at the numbers. It's huge. If just 3% of your listeners and followers on your social media platforms purchase this book, it would be launched into the bestseller category and then get further attention from book critics and others. So I just hope, and I thank you for letting us talk today and get this message out. But if your listeners and followers could just take a look at it, and if it's so inclined, pre-order a book, and it's just going to be a great boost to our effort to send this message out, a message long overdue.
I agree with you. Now, it's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, other venues?
Yeah.
So
yeah, if they go on the website, there's direct access to Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Those are the two that are accessible via the website. And we've had some really good success this week. My friend Bill Bratton used to be the chief of police for the LAPD and a former two times commissioner for NYPD. He has endorsed the book. The people that hear about the concept are just enthusiastic about what we're trying to accomplish.
Now, as an author myself, I've written four books. It's every now and then there's a story in there that impacts me. Even though I wrote it, there's a certain extra impact that I remember. Is there a story in this book that really, really touched you?
I would say the one that I was most personally involved with is the murder of Deputy David March back in April of 2002. He was executed by a five times deported drug dealer who then escaped to Mexico within 4 hours. And it took us 5 years, an incredible amount of effort by a talented team of individuals getting the word out. And we finally got the laws changed nationally and otherwise that forced the Mexican authorities to serve them up to us. And that individual is now doing time in a California state prison for the murder of Deputy David March. But that one there, I was very close. I became very close with his family, his sister, his brother-in-law, his parents, John and Barbara March, and we remain close friends. And I told him when I went to that funeral for his son that we would not forget, we would not give up, and we didn't. And we got that murder of Deputy David March back in this country for the appropriate punishment. And that one there was really close to me.
That's, these type of stories need to be told because the public sometimes doesn't understand all of the resources and the amount of man hours that it takes and talent. Let's not forget that. Law enforcement is a skill. It's a calling, but it's also a skill, especially when you're talking about such a complicated case and a case that's 5 years old. Significant.
I was incredibly impressed by the quality of the investigators on these cases. And of course, the great prosecutors from the LA County DA's office, who have a dedicated unit that does nothing more than prosecute those who murder police officers in Los Angeles County or cause a serious bodily injury to a police officer. It's a dedicated unit. And that's another thing about this book. It talks about the sort of the best practices in terms of investigation and prosecution of these cases, because these cases are unique. They oftentimes involve the death penalty, back most times. And certain techniques have been developed by counties like Los Angeles, where we have so many murders of law enforcement officers, that we've developed sophisticated techniques that can be shared with other prosecutorial entities and law enforcement agencies. So it serves a good purpose there. I'm going to say it's a training book, but it certainly provides techniques and methodologies that are tried and true and it worked. And hopefully prosecutors, there's 3,000 prosecutorial agencies in the United States of America, you know, for each of our counties. And I don't care if you're a little tiny one-man shop or a big operation like the L.A. County DA's office, these unfortunate murders of peace officers can happen anywhere. And they should draw upon the experience of others to do their best in these most important cases. And these are the most important cases as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think this unique approach to this subject matter is very interesting. So, you know, not only is this for the person who, the lay person who just likes to read, you know, books about crime and law enforcement, but actually this is almost textbook kind of material as well for law enforcement personnel, law enforcement officers, and prosecutors.
Randy, you're totally correct. And it's been suggested that this book or the electronic version of it be made available to the men and women in our police academies, or made available to current law enforcement officers. It's not like your typical textbook, but there are things in there that it's quite readable, and they make points that are quite memorable. So that is another goal that we have, is to encourage law enforcement officers in training or in the field and on duty to take a look at this and draw from it and be safer out there.
Well, let me ask you a personal question, Steve. You served as a career prosecutor, and you were elected to several terms as well in Los Angeles, which of course is one of the liberal bastions of the country. Now, you're clearly law enforcement oriented. You're passionate about law enforcement officers. And how did that play into your political career? I mean, you know, as someone who is interested in something that, you know, is not the political norm in that area, did you run into a lot of obstructions?
Actually, I won every election by huge landslides, and it was the equation was relatively simple. I was provably the best candidate. I received all the newspaper endorsements, all the daily newspaper endorsements. I challenged the incumbent, then Gil Garcetti. I beat him 64-36, but I got all the newspaper endorsements. I got all the law enforcement endorsements because it was a matter of relative qualifications. And the DA's office, like many county offices in California, are by law nonpartisan. So you don't have an R next to your name or a D next to your name. You just have a title next to your name. And then the voters get to decide based upon the information that they received from the media. And they decided heavily in my favor three different times. Even though I was a registered Republican, that really wasn't the issue. The issue was who's the best qualified to do the things that have to be done in Los Angeles County when it comes to criminal justice at this point in time in history. And I was blessed that the voters overwhelmingly thought I was that person three times.
Well, okay, I'm very impressed with your personal qualifications for your career, you know, you've been instrumental in changing the lives of law enforcement officers all over the LA County. And now with this book, Blue Lives Matter in the Line of Duty, you're going to have the opportunity to change the lives of police officers all over this country. So I want to thank you for taking the time to be on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, Steve. Thank you so much for your efforts. And together, my listeners, I urge you to go to Amazon right now and to pre-order this book. We need to make this a bestseller for a lot of different reasons, but mostly because it will demonstrate how much we care about the American law enforcement officer.
Yeah, Blue Lives book.com is the way to do it. And it's a real, we got great publishers who have it highly organized, and we're trying to make it as easy on people as they can in terms of pre-ordering and getting the book. And also, you know, one final point, Randy, you've joined a team. We have Bill Braddon endorsed the project. retired chief Jack L. Rinsich, who's got a great following of his own, Arkansas officer Tommy Norman. This is people that don't even know each other who are joining together to send a very powerful, important message regarding the murders of our beloved law enforcement officers. And thank you for being part of that great team.
I appreciate you, Steve. Thank you so much, and we will talk again soon.
Oh, yeah. Look forward to it, Randy. Thank you.
Also with me today on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, is the co-author of Blue Lives Matter in the Line of Duty. His name is Bob Schoen. And Bob also has some impeccable credentials. He's not only is he a graduate of Princeton University and UCLA School of Law, he also worked at the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. He prosecuted more than 60 felony trials with a 90% conviction rate during his tenure, and he brings a tremendous amount of experience to the creation of this book. I want to thank you for being on Blue Lives Radio, Bob.
Randy, I'm pleased to be here.
So, you know, this book is unique. You know, from talking to Steve, not only is it about these incredible men and women who gave their lives in the line of duty, but it also adds a learning perspective to it as it examines what took place, and then there's some suggestions on how things could have turned out differently, which is a very unique approach. But how did you get involved in this?
Well, Steve and I sort of came in the office just a few years apart, and we had different tracks in the office. You know, Steve was someone who was really destined to do great things in the office, and I was someone who sort of liked the intellectual part, you know, doing research, writing manuals for the office, and I was sort of an office historian. And Steve, about 5 years ago, came up to me and said, you've both been retired, and he said, let's write a book together because you have all the information on these cases, and I have all the inside information that I can add, and I think it would be a good book to publish because we want to portray officers in the best light possible, and this is an opportunity to do so. So we just collaborated. Steve just came out of the blue and asked me if I was interested in writing a book with them, and I said, certainly.
Oh, what! I can't think of a better way to continue to contribute after your amazing career. How long were you a district attorney?
Well, believe it or not, I still work for the office in a part-time capacity. And on August 1st, I celebrated my 50th year in the DA's office.
Holy God! 50 years. That is an amazing contribution to your community. Wow. That's
Well, it was 38 years as a full-time DA and 12 years as a part-time DA post-retirement. But, you know, my basic job description is like office historian. I go through these old cases for Public Record Act requests, and I have access to all these files, which gives Steve and me an advantage in getting some materials that no one else has access to.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Well, you have now used this special access and this talent that you have to create this book, Blue Lives Matter in the Line of Duty. And what does it mean to you personally to work on this book?
Well, you know, you work in the DA's office that long. You're with officers every day. I was considered a search warrant expert, and I constantly was working with officers in investigations, helping them with both search warrants, and also I became a wiretap expert, working with officers on a regular basis, you know, in wiretap investigations. So the bulk of my career really has been working with officers, and I've just come to admire and respect, you know, the hard job that they do and that they do so well.
So, you know, the point of this book from your perspective, when Steve came to you and said, let's do this together, what's your ultimate goal with this book?
Well, the goal is to try and portray officers in as positive a light as possible. You know, I think that officers lately have been getting pretty bad rap, and there's very little out there that really portrays them in the positive way and shows really how difficult a job they do, and they do so well. And we're hoping that this is the sort of book that will help, you know, portray these officers in the positive way that they should be portrayed in.
You know, the subject matter here is very intense. I mean, we're talking about the deaths of police officers. You know, how did this affect you personally, emotionally?
Well, it's sort of funny. When you join the office, you start doing all these cases, and you're just out of law school, and you develop a hardness toward these cases where, you know, you just really don't get emotionally involved. But there's only one type of case that really affected me, and that was cases involving the death of police officers, because you get to know them, you know how hard they work and the tough job they do, and it's like a brotherhood. You know, any time an officer gets killed, it really affects you. And that's one of the things that got me involved in this book, that I just have a special respect for police officers and the work that they do based on my lifelong career of working with them on so many cases.
Is there one particular story in this book that really touched you?
Actually, as a matter of fact, there is. I think all eight chapters in the book really are very powerful and portray the officers very, very well. But there's one case involving the murder of a deputy sheriff named David March in 2002. Now, this was during Steve Cooley's regime. The officer is killed during a traffic stop and goes to Mexico, where he was born, and becomes a fugitive from justice. And Mexico will not extradite him because they feel that under the Mexican Constitution, it's improper to place a person in prison for life. So they refuse extradition. But Steve Cooley and the office got involved with the federal government. We got some laws passed which placed some sanctions on Mexico if they failed to extradite fugitive suspects. A law was passed, and the Mexican Supreme Court changed their policy and said, okay, now it's all right to extradite persons who are facing life in another country. And in January 2007, Mexico turned over Garcia, the name of the suspect, at the Mexican-U.S. border. There was a detective named Mark Lilienfeld from the Sheriff's Department, who was one of the officers who took custody of Garcia at the border, and he had Deputy March's handcuffs, you know, the deceased officer's handcuffs.
Yeah.
And he used the handcuffs to transport the suspect to the local jail. And we felt that was really strong symbolism, you know, that the use of the handcuffs meant that Deputy March had actually participated in the arrest of the man who had murdered him. So I thought that was a wonderful touch that this Detective Lilienfeld did in this particular case.
That's
my favorite case.
Yeah, that's a very cool story. It's a very cool story. Well, you know, once again, I want to thank you for not only being on the show today, but for doing this book. I mean, Blue Lives Matter in the Line of Duty has the ability to touch the lives of not only law enforcement officers, but their families all over this country. And the website is the BlueLivesMatterBook.com. And did I get that right?
Well, we're hoping for some good pre-sales, because we think that we have enough pre-sales, we can get on the charts early and maybe sustain some momentum, which will really make this a bestseller.
That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to work together with you and make this book something really popular out there. So once again, Bob, thank you so much for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.
Randy, pleasure talking with you.
We're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. But we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the Vision of the Voices, AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, without a doubt, my friends, this is a game changer. It was for me, and it can be for you. I want to give you an exclusive offer today for our friends of America Out Loud. We appreciate you, and we want to show it right now with our complimentary gift. You can try this today free with our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Now, when I say free, I mean it is
100% free. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. It's a complimentary gift from us to you. Now, Healthy Cell, it's, I'll tell you what, 90-plus nutrients are infused into every cell of your body. This product has been incredible for me personally, and I think it can be for you as well. So I want you to try it. It'll boost your energy, you'll sleep better at night, sharpens your focus, you'll feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer in a beautiful, prosperous life I always talk about with you on the show. Well, I'll tell you what, you can go to the front page of AmericaOutloud.com and just click the large banner ad, and we'll have that complimentary gift right off to you. Daytime!
End of watch.
Each week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we memorialize those men and women of law enforcement who have paid the ultimate sacrifice in the line of duty. This week I have three names to read. Police Officer Elias Martinez of the Metropolitan Transit Police Department in Texas. Police Officer Elias Sonny Martinez succumbed to injuries sustained in a motorcycle crash 1 week earlier while escorting permitted loads on Gulf Freeway in the area of FM 646 in League City, Texas. He was passing the trucks in the escorted convoy when he laid his motorcycle down in an attempt to avoid a collision. He struck the rear of one of the trucks, causing him to suffer severe injuries. He was flown to Herman Memorial Hospital, where he remained until succumbing to his injuries on September 17, 2017. Officer Martinez has served with the Metropolitan Transit Police Department for 25 years. He is survived by his wife and two children. Police Officer Elias Martinez, Metropolitan Transit Authority Police Department in Texas, end of watch, Sunday, September 17, 2017. And there were four this week. Two of the officers died in the same incident in the hurricane in Puerto Rico. Agent Hector Matias Torres and Agent Angel Lorenzo Gonzalez drowned when their vehicles were caught in floodwaters during Hurricane Maria. Both officers were completing a 24-hour shift at approximately 6 a.m. as part of the hurricane response and rescue efforts. They were attempting to get back to the police station when their vehicles were caught in high water and washed into the Culebrinas River in Aquata as they drove along PR-115. Their bodies were recovered the following day. The officers had served for many years with the Puerto Rico Police Department. Agent Hector Matias Torres, Agent Angel Lorenzo Gonzalez, Puerto Rico Police Department, Puerto Rico, end of watch, Thursday, September 21st, 2017. And the fourth officer to die in the line of duty this week was Trooper Timothy O'Neill of the Michigan State Police. Trooper Timothy O'Neill was killed in a motorcycle crash in Plainfield Township at approximately 7:45 a.m. He was riding his department motorcycle when he was involved in the crash near the intersection of Wolverine and Belding Road Northeast. Trooper O'Neill served with the Michigan State Police for 3 years. He is survived by his mother, father, brother, sister, and fiance. The crash occurred 2 weeks before his wedding date. Trooper Timothy O'Neill, Michigan State Police, end of watch, Wednesday, September 20th, 2017. These officers gave their lives in the line of duty. May they rest in peace.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. Now, I'm your host, Randy Sutton. You can find me at Facebook. If you look under Facebook and you see Randy Sutton Public Figure, just like that or follow it, and you can see everything that I write and post. You can communicate with me there as well. I answer all of my messages personally. You can also find me at Twitter at LT Randy Sutton, LT Randy Sutton at Twitter. And you can find my books at Amazon.com. I have four books, and I think you'll like them. A Cop's Life, True Blue, Police Stories by Those Who Have Lived Them, True Blue to Protect and Serve, and The Power of Legacy. Thanks again.